this thing. No title again.
Anda de lo lebi ele du mare.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'd like to start off with a quote. Well, it's not a quote, but just a comment that was left on my blog by our good friend Catherine, who I'll probably be seeing tomorrow, actually, at the little podcaster gathering. But by the time you hear this, that will have been history, and I'll have something else to say, so I won't go into that, but I will go into the comment that Catherine left on the Dixon Janes blog, and that would be, of course, DixonJanes at blogspot.com or something like that. Anyway, it is. I meant to mention... No. That was a lovely photo. Thank you. No. Here's something I really believe. If you want something badly enough, then the universe will conspire to give it to you. Just something to mull over. Once again, if you want something badly enough, then the universe will conspire to give it to you. Now, I like that, and I thank you for that, Catherine. And I think that's the kind of thing I, of course, I believe in, but it's something we have to remind ourselves of time and again, because it's so easy to get discouraged or to lose hope, to give up on yourself, and, you know, all that nonsense. And we really do have to keep this positive attitude. I suppose that sounds a little, repetitious, of course, coming from me. I say it all the time. But I've just had just another instance, and that's the only reason I'm talking to you now in the middle of the day, 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, from my office. And we've never done a podcast here before, so if the sound is different, this may be the reason why. I'm in my office. I'm sitting back, tilted back in my chair with my feet up on my lovely desk. I am thrilled. I love this office. I've wanted an office for years, and I'm just gradually getting it into the shape I want. Today I moved in little extra things for the bookcase, including The Idiot's Guide to Zen Living. It's right beside my eBay for Dummies and iLife 04. A couple of books on the bottom shelf, The Story of Canada and another Canada Illustrated History. Just nice things, and if somebody came in, a visitor, somebody new, they could just browse through that while they're waiting. You know, instead of an old Time magazine, give them a really nice picture book of Canada. I've got a lovely little gold Japanese sake cup and a tin with a little Japanese girl in a bamboo forest, you know, painted on the cover of the tin, just behind. That's where I keep my tools, the hammer, and so on. But it's just, I just propped it up on this beautiful black shelf against a yellow wall. A lovely Buddha on the next shelf with my English books and books of quotations. Really, some nice books. One is called The Great Thoughts. Wonderful book. I used to use in the Dixon Janes newsletter because I always included thoughts every day. Next shelf up, I brought in a kola nut dish from Nigeria, one I bought there in 1980, 82, whenever, with a set of real genuine beans, probably bone, that have been strung and wrapped it around this kola dish. It's sort of a nude woman, very crudely done, holding a big... bowl on her head with a lid on it, and that's where you would keep the kola nut. And kola nut's something that you offer. It's like tea in a Japanese home. In Nigeria, you visit somebody. It's an occasion if you're greeted, especially for the first time, or it's an important visit. They race out and they buy some kola nut, and then you share it. You chew the kola nut together. Taxi drivers use it to get high and keep going like speed, but it doesn't have a big effect. And boy, you really take some chewing to get into it, but it's an honor to have. And I remember being brought to somebody's home once, and it was wonderful to go through the ceremony. His daughter, who was a teacher at our school, lovely woman. Well, that's another story. However, the father, you know, I was brought there for the first time to meet the family, and so of course he ran out and had his grandson or somebody buy kola nut. And so I have this lovely little kola dish, and I think that's a nice touch. I've got Japan and Nigeria, two parts. So I'm really kind of taking over this office. Above that is a little picture of native people. There's like a father and a mother and a child. So it's one of these very simple line drawings of, North American native people in sort of almost a pop modern way. It's not something you think of ancient. It's something new, the kind of artwork that's become popular with Western collectors, and all my mediation books, wonderful, the mediation process, getting to peace, narrative mediation, getting to yes, etc., etc. And then one more book of sort of business reference books. And then on the very top of the shelf, a really nice Japanese vase. So it looks great. And thank you for listening to all that. I bought a lamp at Canadian Tire to sit in the corner and just give it kind of that homey feeling. So the lamp's on. Let's go sit in the corner, shall we? I'm sitting at my desk now, but we're about to leave the desk and just walk over here. Here, I'll try another chair. This is the chair my student sits in. Ooh, a little squeaky. This is one that was left behind, but it's comfortable. It's tilt, you know, it's on wheels. And he just wheels it up to the desk here where I am. I sit across from him, and we do the work together. Love this desk I got. It was, you know, on sale at, Home Depot or someplace? Rona. I don't, maybe it was Rona. Hope it was Rona. And anyway, put that back. And then in the corners, you enter two lovely purple chairs that were left behind with kind of a purple table arrangement. So it's a cozy little corner. I'm sitting right there now. And if you were here, just one of you, you'd be sitting right opposite me and we'd be having this little lovely little chat. There was a clock left behind with a yellow face, and it's perfect because it goes against yellow walls. So here, let me turn off the big light to make it a little cozier. There we are. And just got the little lamp on now, the sort of the reading lamp. I'm now looking back at where I was sitting before, and I see four little plaques up, not plaques, little framed certificates up on the wall. My mediation certificates, my training, and so on. So that's just to show. So I still have these great hopes of actually running a mediation business. Now, the reason I'm so excited and I'm talking to you now, I was just at our accountant, and he said, oh, by the way, I'm retiring this year. I can recommend somebody, and he did, and I thought, okay, well, that's easy. Go with his recommendation. Then I Googled it and realized it's not really convenient. It's like the other end of town, you know, up near Steeles and Pharmacy. That's a long way, believe me, from where I am now. And so I thought, just a minute now. I've got 1, 2, 3 businesses now that I need an accountant for. And my partner in this second business, she has 2. So between us, we've got a fair enough business. We want something that's convenient and easy. And lo and behold, around the corner, like in this very basement, like, you know, 20 steps away, there's an accountant. So I went in, talked to her, got a quote, and I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I've got a new accountant. So that was kind of a good feeling. I liked her vibe. She raced for her fun, for her Christmas present. Her husband got a gift certificate to race a Formula 2000 car. So that's a pretty good sign. She had a Ferrari hat hanging up on her cloak rack. So I think that's pretty good. And so I just have to talk my partner into signing up with this new accountant. So I will have solved the problem in one day, you know, for the next who knows how long. That's pretty wonderful. And but on top of that, the best thing, the thing that excites me the most, and the reason I'm talking to you now and hoping this is recording, yeah, it appears to be, 8 minutes. I was a little thirsty. Excuse me, I got to get my drink. And I know this is against Mark Levi's rules, milk, and especially chocolate milk, but hang on. Oh, it's so refreshing. I needed something. I needed a drink. So I don't know this area. I don't even know this part of Kingston Road. That's another thing that's exciting. I've got a whole new part of Toronto to discover. So anyway, I step outside, and lo and behold, instead of going to the usual corner Korean-run grocery store, or Korean-run, you know, convenience shop, I step into an actual grocery store with a meat counter in the back, like with sausages and meat and stuff. Like, you never see that. One of these, the last of these small-time grocery stores with all kinds of, you know, 6 different flavors of ginger beer, stuff you'd never see. I don't know who buys there, but I went in and I thought, this is neat. And a long-haired guy running it, and I just got into the nicest chat with him, left him my mediation card, told him about my business, how much his store reminded me of the kind of thing you'd see in Quebec City or Montreal. It's exactly like that. So we joked about this conservative government and the fact that, you know, I commented on all he needs is the license to sell beer and wine. And of course, his view was, it'll never happen in Ontario because the big stores don't want it. They don't want drunks. They don't want to deal with bottles. There's not enough money in it. So they'll never pass this law. You know, Loblaws and all these others will block the sale of beer and wine at grocery stores. And it's so sad, like a shop like him. And the government should be more sympathetic to the small businesses. It just drives me nuts. Like, it's a perfect place. And if he went in and all he'd have to do is carry just a few types of wine, you know, and you know, just a few brands, a few favorite beer, maybe some good imports or something, or some good, you know, a local brews. And it would be perfect. But he's not going to get it. And here's a guy struggling, and he needs that little extra, you know? What a shame. What a shame that our governments are so damn unenlightened and driven by big business. And it's because of the kind of people we elect. We get the government we deserve, damn it. Anyway, it was a really delightful chat with this young man called David. So now I'm going to be a regular, but it's almost like, hey, through this, just this open flow. And even with the new accountant today, Virginia, we talked about how, you know, some people just like to make things difficult. And we both agreed, no, man, this is a simpler way of doing things. And that's just what today is about. I mean, I'm nagged on one hand of this sense, oh my God, I got to do things. I got to bring in money. I got to do this. But all the little bits I'm actually doing, like suddenly 2 more people, 3 more people know that I'm a mediator now, my accountant, the new accountant, and this fellow David who runs a local grocery store. And I just have to be patient and have faith. And if indeed Catherine is right, and I believe she is, the universe will conspire to help me. So that's all I wanted to say. I wanted to talk to you on a very, very positive note from somebody who's feeling really good, because you gotta get in the groove. You gotta have faith. You gotta believe. And you just have to sort of go with things and quit fighting useless battles. Hope that doesn't sound like a whole lot of bullshit. It's not meant to be. I'm just happy for the little flowing things in life, the little efforts, the thing that just guided me to step outside and go into that store, and instead of just buying something, stopping to have a really nice 5-minute chat with the proprietor. Like, that's what this was about. The chat with the accountant, the chat with the first accountant, the chat with the proprietor of the little grocery store. That, the time, to take the time. It's not just interactions of just pay your money and get your thing. That's why we're all so damn unhappy. Take the time to talk to people. That's the message, folks. That's the message. All right. Enough said. Welcome to the world of my new office here on Kingston Road. And you'll be hearing more from me. Take care. Bye-bye.
Just don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Nothing, everything for two. Doing everything with you. And now that we're through, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do with myself. I don't know what to do with myself. Like a summer rose, need a solid rain. I need your sweet love to fill the way. Well, I don't know what to do with myself. Just don't know what to do with myself. Just don't.
lot of time, so please listen fast. It's Friday morning. This is the Friday, excuse me. Get that towel. This is after the podcast gathering, that crazy one that got switched from the Friday to the Thursday, from the Yellow Griffin to the Imperial Pub. And holy shit, what a night that turned out to be. I've talked an awful lot. You've heard me raving about the good vibes and, you know, how nice it is within this community. Everybody's supportive and so on. Well, holy shit. If you were there last night, if you had to come, and incidentally, a lot of people said they wouldn't. They never showed up. I don't know why, but anyway. Probably lucky if you didn't. I have never seen such ugliness and just plain almost cruelty, I don't know, within the community. It just completely turned my head around. I thought, man, you know, all this lovey-dovey vibe, let's help each other, let's support each other. Well, I guess it comes down to the old, who can hold their liquor and who can't, because I'm going to say this, I'm going to go down on record. I don't, you know, I mean, I could take some flack for this, but I always say I owe it to the listeners, the faithful listeners, to tell it like it is, and call a spade a spade. And that's what I'm going to try and do. Now, first of all, just kudos to Dave Brodbeck, who did his best with myself just to sort of calm things down and get things back on track, because it was really, really getting out of hand. I'm going to point a finger. And I know a lot of people are probably getting, you know, it's almost like this could be a polarizing issue. A lot of people could sort of start drawing lines, you know, and sort of saying, okay, which side are you on now? And that's unfortunate. And I really don't want to be the agent of, you know, trouble and within the podcasting community. But I'm going to make a message right now and make it very clear. And I'm going to talk to somebody out there, and it's Mark Levis. Mark, the next time you show up at one of these gatherings, I don't want you showing up drunk again. Okay? Simple as that. It's a message to you, and it's a message to everybody else who you owe apologies to. I don't know what happened, but holy shit. I guess he had had a stressful day. He was flying in. He was late. He's flying in from Ottawa to Toronto. I don't know why anybody does that when you got a train. But anyway, he flew in and, oh, I guess he probably had a few drinks on the plane. It's hardly enough time to down one, but I suppose he did. By the time he called me in the taxi, he wasn't making a lot of sense. He was getting kind of a little insulting with me, like, why the hell should I be coming all the way up there anyway? And I sort of held his feet to the fire. I said, hey, Mark, you know, we've billed you. You've got top billing for this. You know, you gotta show up, man. I didn't realize then how drunk he was. And, you know, if I had have been just a little more sensitive and picked up, I might have said, no, listen, go back to your hotel, just sleep it off, you'll be fine, you know, don't worry about it, we'll handle things, you know, we'll pick up the slack. But no, I pushed for him to come out, and man, he staggered through that door. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I thought it was a little unfair. This was John trying to do a presentation, trying to rehearse, and the number of cat calls and interruptions and just, I mean, Mark was slinging them left and right. He had Sage beside him, poor Sage, sitting there innocently. And Mark just, I don't know, just cutting comments, like every little thing. And this guy's quick. He's got a real sharp wit about him. But boy, oh boy, if you're on the receiving end, holy shit. You know, I mean, I think Sage was close to tears myself. But, anyway, that's why I say I think Mark just owes a few public apologies. But I don't like doing that on this show. I don't like sort of stirring things up and, you know, making things worse than they have to be. But I also feel an obligation, a duty, as probably one of, you know, one. I mean, basically, I'm one of the elders in this community, and the elders have a responsibility to be truthful and to tell it like it is, or at least as they see it. Anyway, as I said, Dave did a wonderful job. Dave Brodbeck was Mr. Sensible and just tried to calm everybody down, tried to just keep a nice, even hand on things, and I really appreciate that. And I think that just says a lot about his maturity. That was good. So a nice turnout, nice gathering. In fact, there were two podcaster gatherings. That's another indication, and I don't know whether it was Mark who set this up, because I know, here's the situation, right? We walk in, poor John is sitting there, Dave and I came in from across the street. John's sitting there all set up, ready to go. There's nobody there. Well, okay, strange, but anyway. We show up, and then shortly after, Rob and Catherine show up, and you know, we can get things going. We're having a nice time, and you know, everything's fine. But by 8 o'clock, there's nobody else there. Now, 16 people have already Facebook in to say that they're coming. They're showing up, and there's no sign of them. So I go upstairs, and lo and behold, there's another podcaster gathering taking place. Same time, parallel universe. And again, I'm holding Mr. Blevis responsible because he was on the phone to me downstairs. Then he's on the phone with those guys upstairs ordering food. The bastard. Sorry, I just feel strongly about this, and I got to get it off my chest. He's up to, he knows very well. He comes in, and there's Sage, and Timothy's up there, and Jay Muna, and Valerie, and everybody's sitting there having a fine time, you know? At Mark Blevis's gathering, totally ignoring the fact that John, who set up this whole damn thing down, is downstairs waiting on people. Mark, he knew this, damn it. He's talking to both groups. He's talking to me saying, hey, I'm going to be a little late, and by the way, I got to leave early. Yeah, sure. And then he calls the group upstairs. Hey, guys, hold a spot for me and get me a sandwich, would you? I'm kind of hungry. You know, I don't know if they realized how drunk he was at the time, but anyway, I mean, it was all I could do. I mean, it was basically, it was very, very close to blows. It came very, very close to a physical fight between Mark and I. And I sort of feel bad about that. I'm sort of priding myself on trying to be a mediator and a peacemaker and that. But it came, it really, really got ugly. At one point, we each had each other by the collar. And I'm embarrassed about that. And again, I can only say, well, Mark can't hold his liquor. I think it's as simple as that. And just absolutely just got off to the wrong start somehow. I don't know why. I guess he had a bad day in Ottawa. I don't know. You never know the reasons for somebody turning on you. But it was pretty close to vicious. It was, fortunately, Sage got in. Sage was wise enough to get in there and sort of separate us. And I really, hats off again to Sage for being another calming influence in the upstairs group, you know. Meanwhile, Dave's trying to keep everybody calm downstairs because by this point, you know, Catherine's getting a little angry. And, okay, hey, you guys told us Mark Blevis was coming. Where the hell is he? Anyway, I just hope the next one we organize is a little more on track, that maybe we have it in a place that maybe it's just in a coffee shop where there's no alcohol served, you know. Maybe that's a better, maybe that's something we have to consider for those amongst us in this community who can't hold their alcohol. And that it may be as simple as that, you know. Have it at a Starbucks or something, you know. And just, you know, a quiet, calm, more friendly, more supportive, hopefully, without all those vicious digs that came in. I mean, Mark just basically, he just tore a strip off everybody in the place. And I guess he got it off his chest. I hope he's feeling better today, but I imagine he's probably feeling pretty remorseful if he remembers any of it. So anyway, that's it. That's all I'm going to give you. That's just sort of a wrap-up of this gathering that took place at the Imperial Pub. If you missed it, well, maybe it wasn't such a bad one to miss. And if you're there, I just hope that Mark had something to say about this, and in just in terms of an apology to one and all. So, All right, we'll leave it at that, and we'll get on with this, you know, and get back to you a little bit later, okay? That was just a little bit of an update on what happened and perhaps shouldn't have happened at the podcaster gathering in Toronto. Thank you.
Okay, pardon the ding. All right. Keys are in the ignition. Okay. I had to do that to get the damn light on the car. It's not my car. It's my partner's Dodge Caravan. It's kind of fun driving a van again. I had forgotten. I mean, I went through three or four of them before I got the PT Cruiser, and you're nice and high up. You feel in control. And today I had to do a highway drive from Scarborough to Mississauga, and my wife needed the car, so my partner, of course, lent me hers, which is great. I'm sitting in it right now outside Pizza Hut. And if you're a regular listener, you know that I can't go for the cheapy two-for-ones anymore. They just don't cut it. And, you know, my son was ready for pizza. And this is the one who's not fussy. He said, Dad, it's okay. You can just get the cheap ones. You know, it almost makes you cry. It's so thoughtful of him. My other son is just, there's no way, man. I'm not eating that crap. My number two son... He's just much more sensitive, much more in tune to the value of a dollar. And, Dad, it's okay. You know, it's only Jerry who makes the fuss, not me. And for that, I rewarded him by going in the decent one. It's just the right thing to do, you know? I mean, hell, if the guy's that nice, he better get the good pizza. Anyway, wasn't even going to talk about that. It's just that I've got a little parking time, and it's kind of odd. I've got the microphone. I had in my hand three different pairs of earphones. I have none of them now. I don't know what happened. You know, I was sort of parked them here and there, and I just wasn't well organized. And I'm finding I got to squeeze in these little clips whenever I can. So apologies again if it seems a little bit hurried, you know. But this is just the time I got to squeeze off a few moments. And a few thoughts to share with you. I'm feeling kind of high because I'm back from my teaching. I was pretty anxious about it. I don't know if I shared that, but I was teaching essay writing for these SAT tests, and it's big time, and I didn't feel that comfortable with the material. And but I know once I get into it, once I'm up there, you know, the performance, you're on stage. It's like any actor, you know, you get the shakes backstage, and you get up there in the front, and you do your thing. And I'm the same with teaching. So it was no problem at all getting it going. And I felt kind of good and called back my partner, who I should give a name to one of these days instead of just my business partner, to say, hey, book me up for more. This is a good gig. I like it, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm on my way to her place to deliver the second pizza because they actually had half price for the second pizza. All right, go ahead, get it. Newspaper clippings. Remember last time also I said I really don't like it because it's all news. You've already heard all the stuff. But I have the feeling from the kind of things I do here that not everybody reads the same papers. Now, this is something that really, really bothers me. I mean, it's meant to bother me. It was deliberately put into the paper. But court orders lashing for Saudi rape victim. Here's a woman raped by six guys. She tried to appeal it. They were going to give her 90 lashes because she was in a car with an unrelated male at the time of the rape. So she was going to get punished 90. Now, come on, folks. Why? It's not even trying to figure out what their rules are, but why are we accepting that? When all the other shit that's going on with all these other countries, you make a big fuss, why the hell don't we tell the fucking Saudis, look, man, you don't do that. Lashes are primitive. You don't lash a woman who's been raped for some stupid religious reason. Sorry, but upsets me. So anyway, she appealed it. They complained, went to a higher court, said, hey, you've made a big fuss about this and went public. Now you're getting 200 lashes. 200 lashes for a rape victim, okay? This is Saudi Arabia. Remember that. Remember those fucking kings and sheiks and these guys. And, it makes me so angry. It really, really does. It's just so wrong. And what's so wrong is these bloody hypocritical governments, right and left, don't do anything because we need their oil and we need them on our side and prop up those fucking sheikdoms and everything else because, man, it could be worse. Oh, yeah? What's worse than that? The Khmer Rouge. I don't want to talk about that. The, you know, Cambodia and, oh, under Pol Pot. That was just so damn awful. And the people who perpetrated these horrible, horrific acts against innocent Cambodian people are dying of old age because nobody's doing anything about it. Okay, don't like that. Poverty in the city. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. Not news. Now I see why I don't go through the paper. Okay, what else we got here? Oh, yeah. A fundraiser. Isn't this cute? Now, you may have heard about this. I sure it hit the national papers in Canada anyway. A group of guys decide, let's have a fun fundraiser and we'll have kind of an airball hockey. And they did it by using leaf blowers. Now, I don't know if you know how strongly I feel about leaf blowers, but yes, they should be banned. My neighbor, who's deaf anyway, loves his. He's out there every day blowing the leaves. He wanders into my driveway just so he can have a few extra leaves to blow, and I'm saying, it's okay, Lou. I can rake them. I like raking, Lou. Lou! I like raking! Sorry. But, you know, anyway, these guys, for a fundraiser, they equip everybody with leaf blowers. Isn't that cute? To raise money for a charity. Assholes! Okay, do I have to tell you why that's a dumb thing? I don't think so. And then the part that's got me upset the most. You want to hear the fire engines? No. The part that upsets me the most, and a national disgrace for our country, and one, I don't know how we are going to make things right with the rest of the world, but four Mounties out in Vancouver Airport tasering to death an innocent, poor, confused man visiting from Poland to see his mother. She said, meet me at the baggage racks, okay? She didn't realize she can't get into the baggage like in the old days where he just wandered about the airports. She can't get in. He's got to get the baggage on his own. He doesn't have a word of English. He's confused. He can't find his mom. He's lost. He's confused. He's been in there 8-10 hours. He's getting angry. He's getting frustrated. He picks things up. Nobody's helping him. He throws something. He smashes something. panicked people call the police. Luckily, there's a guy, a teacher, on leave from Thailand, Canadian, gets out his cell phone and decides he's going to film all this. And it's a good thing because the story the RCMP gave is completely different from the story this little camera video tells. No, he wasn't fighting back when you tasered him the second time. Sorry, you weren't holding him upright so he could get his air. You had a guy with a knee on his fucking neck. The guy died. He was murdered by four RCMP. Now listen, I'm not one of these people who goes crazy and badmouths the police, because I cheer on our police. I cheer on our soldiers. We need to. It's a tough, dirty job. I'm sorry for those Mounties who were shot up north and the ones out in Alberta. It's a horrible job, but goddammit, somebody's got to be responsible. Either inadequate training or poor screening process. There was no reason four Mounties had to kill an innocent man. Absolutely outrageous, no fucking excuses, and what's worse, you fucking lied about it. All you guys should be on front of TV, you should be up before a panel, you should be apologizing to all Canadians for ruining our name internationally, because this has gone around the world. This is how they greet you in Vancouver. Tasers. This is a crying national disgrace. I'm sorry, folks, I'm really, really, really upset about this one. This is so wrong. It's such a shame. Do I say I'm sorry now? Is this the point that I got wound up a little and have to apologize for yelling at you again? I really am sorry, but man, oh man, folks, come on. We got to do better as a nation. We got to be the good guys. We have lost our good guys' name. Canada used to be the good guys. We're not the fucking good guys anymore. Don't sew that maple leaf on the back of your backpack and parade proudly around Europe saying, hey, I'm not American. No, you're not, are you? But look at all the other things you're doing. Come on. We got to get it together. We got to improve. We got to get better. So look, folks, I got to go get my pizza. That was just a little a news interlude, you know, a little bit of news, a little news clip for you. Maybe it'll be a regular part. Yeah, from the papers, you know. The dude tears through the newspapers. I kind of like doing it because I read every day. I'm addicted to the news and... it only upsets me, but I got to share that with you. You know, this is therapy, man. You know that. I got to unload this stuff. That's how it works. You know the rules. Okay. Listen, good talking to you, and talk to you again very, very soon. Be right back.
What follows is a 10-step program designed to enhance your podcasting lifestyle. Step 1, open YouTube. Step 2, type Fast Food TV. Step 3, laugh. Step 4, go to Google. Step 5, type Broca's area. Step 6, click on the PayPal button. Step 7, donate $10. Step 8, register to Podcasters Across Borders 2008. Step 9. Come to the Holiday Inn in Kingston, Ontario in June 2008. Step 10. Meet James Whittingham, the funniest podcaster of the 21st century. This concludes our 10-step program for the betterment of the podcasting lifestyle.
Okay. I kind of have fun. I like these intros where I just sort of have the radio on and then start talking over it when I get tired of the song. And this is a song that really gets me excited. But this sounds like Joe Cocker. Psychedelic Sunday, Q107, coming at you from Scarborough Dudes PT Cruiser parked in the parking lot outside Canadian Tire, Eglinton and Warden. Yes, sirree, folks. It's a busy Sunday we're having here. A little too busy for my liking, so I thought I'd just take a little time out and take a breath, calm down, and talk with my friends, my listeners, just a little bit, if you don't mind. It's got to be the right time for you, too. You know, I never, never, ever want anybody out there to be stupid enough to listen to this show out of obligation or when you're not really in the mood for it. You know, hey, come back when you're ready. And I'm ready now. It's after 1. And I went out this morning to go, you know, my usual pulpit up in front of the Civic Center. And I got there, parked the car, reached for the bag with the microphone and my books and everything, and it wasn't there. Drove home in a panic, and there it was, sitting on the front veranda. Lucky nobody went up to my doorstep and wandered off with that. So anyway, got home, and my wife had a list of chores for me. No frills for all the things she knows that are on sale and that we need. And she wrote the list out. We had one laugh out of it because I was a little surprised that she put down pea soup because I know nobody in the house likes it except me. But she laughed, said, no, I didn't put pea soup. I put pear soap. So we straightened that out. And let's see. Oh, yeah, and then returned some things. I bought a garment rack, you know, 40% off Canadian Tire, regular 60 on for 40 or something like that. Great, hang up your shirts and extra stuff we always seem to be accumulating. And she hands me a ticket. No, this is a rain check. Regular $30 on sale for 10. So I got to return the one I got and pick up two of hers. She's a much better shopper than I am. But folks, let me tell you, if you're not Canadian, you just don't know the joys of wandering through a Canadian Tire store. They are a blast, especially the big ones. This is a big one, Eglinton and Warden. There's another one up at McCowan and Steeles area. They're just great. I mean, you got everything and all kinds of specials and stuff you don't need. And what's funny, the reason I bring this up and that I decided I would do my little segment from this very parking lot is because this whole strip of Scarborough used to be manufacturing. There was, I believe, there's a Ford assembly plant here. There was the famous dishwashing company. This was factories, catering, and the people living out in the suburbs here. This was a whole mile of, you know, car dealerships too, but factories and assembly jobs, decent paying jobs. It's gone. It is now nothing but mall after mall after mall. Just consumer-driven, you know, sucking the dollars out of everybody's pockets. Nothing's made. Everything is bought. Everything from China. It's a bizarre world we live in, folks. I mean, you wonder, like, well, where do the people work who come here to buy all this stuff? But I guess it's a whole new world we're living in, and there's a whole range of new jobs, and just ain't the same as it used to be. So anyway, Canadian Tire, it's a blast. If you're non-Canadian, I don't know what the hell this show means to you. Hey, listen, if you're non-Canadian, let me give you a little quiz. It's from the All-Canadian Trivia Board Game. I bought it for probably a Christmas present. Never used it. First one, right off the top. Which river flows into the Gulf of St. Lawrence? The Grand, the Miramichi, or the Nelson? Oh, shit, I don't even know that. Which river flows into the Gulf of St. Lawrence? Must be the Miramichi. Oh, I shouldn't be telling you. Well, all right, sorry. My guess. I don't know. What's your guess? Okay, the Grand? That's with an E in the end. The Miramichi, and that is M-I-R-A-M-I-C-H-I, or the Nelson. Well, I've never heard of the Nelson, so I'm going to say the Miramichi. And the answer is the Miramichi. Good for you. Let's see. We won't do any more there. Just randomly. Here's one. This is for non-Canadians only, okay? If you're Canadian, just keep quiet. Don't shout out the answer. New Brunswick shares a border with which provinces? New Brunswick shares a border with which provinces? Which provinces? And my guess, I'm going to tell you, is wait a minute now. New Brunswick shares a border with Quebec and Nova Scotia. And I guess you can't call a border if it's across the water, but I'm thinking PEI, but it's certainly Quebec and Nova Scotia. Quebec and Nova Scotia. That's the answer. Holy moly, I'm Canadian, and if you got those wrong, you're not. Okay? Here's one. Ooh, boy, this is a hard one. Hecate Strait, and that would be Hecate, right? H-E-C-A-T-E. Hecate. Hecate Strait separates mainland British Columbia from what island archipelago? Oh my gosh. From what island? Well, it's the Gulf Islands, surely. Oh, no. Oh, no. I was wrong. Me. The answer? Yes, some of you got it. Some of you got it. The Queen Charlotte Islands, of course. The Queen Charlotte Islands. The Queen Charlotte's. All right, so we won't do that anymore. That was just to make sure you're on your toes and listening. Listen, speaking of Canadiana, here it is. How perfect is that? I'm in a parking lot of a Canadian Tire. I'm holding the All-Canadian Trivia board game, nicely packaged with maple leaves and so on. And in my hand, I have my new book, which I snuggled up with this morning after Coronation Street. What a wonderful day to start a Sunday. I get up early before anybody else can, race to the TV, put on Coronation Street, make myself a cup of coffee and some cereal, and sit there with my feet up on the lounge, you know, the chair with the little lever that boosts up a thing for your feet, and watch Coronation Street nicely by myself. And then, when everybody else started to stir, I went downstairs, got back into bed, and snuggled up with the book that I am now holding in my hand and which I am highly recommending to any of you Canadian listeners out there if you don't already have it, called Your Guide to Canadian Law. Answers to the most frequently asked questions. Believe it or not, folks, it is great. It's really well written. Really simple. I'm very ignorant of the law because I sort of make my own, you know, I just sort of have my roles of what's right and what's wrong, and that to me constitutes law, legal or illegal. And I know it doesn't quite work that way in real life, you know, one of these days I'll find out. But so I went through and I had a wonderful time. I was reading all about, there's a great section, by the way, on mediation and arbitration, very short. And all they talk about is make sure you got your lawyer. Like, they don't mention mediation without lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. Mediators, you don't really need a lawyer if you're going to mediation. That's the whole point. But this is written by a team of lawyers, so obviously the word lawyer is going to be on every single page in the book. But it is good. I read the whole section on your own day in court, small claims actions, small claims court. So I truly, honestly find it fascinating. It's a great read. It's what? Jeez. Well, I guess you don't count the index, but 650 pages and very, very good. Easy to read. Very well organized. Everything. Buying and selling a home. Losing money. Starting, managing, growing a business. Ooh, I got to read that section. Intellectual property. Protecting the intangible. better not read that. The internet and computers, oh, criminal justice, driving and the law, environmental crimes, immigration. Folks, I've already decided, unfortunately no family members listen to this, so I'm going to get a copy of this for at least two other family members. My niece and my nephew are each getting a copy. And listen, it's $25. That's an amazing, that's a good price. That's a very good price. So there you go. Would you like me to read anything? Are you interested in that? Like, how big does your claim have to be if you go to small claims court? Maximum $5,000. It's excellent. I just can't. Maybe I'll put a link up. I don't know. But anyway, what was I going to read to you? How about a change of pace entirely? No, nothing on there we want. I was digging through some papers, looking for some legal documents. So I guess it ties in. Yeah, I was going through my special secret hiding place where I keep all my will and stuff, you know, all the legal stuff that I've got. And I found a paper typed up called On the Birth of My Son. And if you'll forgive me, I'm going to read this to you right now. I feel a little bad because I didn't do this for number two son. I did this for number one son because it was like a turning point in my life, actual fatherhood, something I had been terrified of. Like, I never, ever, ever thought I would ever be mature enough to be a father. I'm probably not, but it's too late. I am now. And I was attending school. I was teaching at this all-girls school. And, you know, you're in a staff room, pretty heavy duty, very serious, very, very pretty well unpleasant places. You can't imagine what a Japanese staff room is like. Yeah, 20 minutes to eat your lunch, bam, students come in. There's so many rules to obey. It's the most uptight place you could ever imagine. But anyway, I was so excited when my son was born that I wrote a speech. I'm pretty sure I had someone translate it for me, and I delivered it in Japanese. I just don't remember. But I stood up. There's a morning announcement section. And this was unheard of. Like, this was like, you know, somebody might announce a wedding or something. But it's all, the announcements are school rules, days off, you know, vacation, exams, tests. But I wanted to announce the birth of my son to all the staff members at the school. And I think people were, you know, in Japan, that's just kind of embarrassing. You know, yeah, I might have just said, you know, or somebody might have said on my behalf, Mr. Vole's a very proud father as of, you know, January 30th, 1990. But no, I had to give a speech. I was just so moved. And I needed to share this. It didn't go over all that well. Like, there was sort of this polite silence, I guess you'd say. But I'm going to read it to you right now. I'm kind of thrilled because I'd forgotten. I still had it. So that is the prep. That is all the talk I'm going to give leading up to it. And here is on the birth of my son. I am sure every father feels something very special at the birth of his first child. So I need not tell you how excited and happy I am to have a son. And of course, every parent feels that their child is somehow special, and I'm afraid I'm no exception. What is in fact special about my son is that he is by birth both a Japanese and Canadian citizen. I am delighted about this, not so much for his citizenship status, which is really just a matter of legal documentation, as for the fact that my son will grow up with two heritages, both of which he can be very proud. We hope that Kenjiro will not only be bilingual, but that he would also have an understanding and appreciation of some of the best qualities of both his parents' countries. From his maternal or Japanese side, I hope that he will learn diligence, honesty, a sense of beauty, and consideration for others. From his paternal or Canadian side, I hope that he will develop a love of nature, a sense of fairness, a faith in God, and a tolerance of what is different, for what is different. But of course, it's unfair to put such heavy expectations on an infant's shoulders, and I will leave that for time and nurture to take care of. Before I stop, I would like to share with you a personal experience relating to the birth of my son. As my wife had chosen a small and progressive maternity clinic, I was permitted to attend the delivery, and in retrospect, I would have it no other way. The sheer joy at seeing and hearing my son's first cry brought tears to my eyes. But what also struck me as wonderful was the professional and yet kind and loving care of the doctor and nurses as they shared in this moment of great happiness. Even though I knew then I was in a clinic in Japan, surrounded by an all-Japanese staff, speaking in Japanese, I was aware of something else. Not of how different and separate, not of how we are different and separate, but how we are all of the same family, sharing in the wonder and love that makes us all human. I will never forget the expression of kind tenderness on Dr. Nishibayashi's face as he held up my son and said, "Congratulations, Father, it's a boy." All right. Now, some of you might have found that a little bit corny, a little bit over the top, a little too much. But, folks, that's how I felt. I mean, remember, I was in Japan. I was in an all-Japanese situation. I wanted to reach out and say, "Hey, I've got a son born here, and this sort of transcends my nationality and your nationality." Anyway, that's just something I found and thought I had a duty to share with the listeners of Dixon Jeans. And that said, 15 minutes gone. I got to go shopping. I got to go. That sounds like Nigerian pidgin English. I know go. I have to go shopping and carry on, get back and do the raking and take in the table and get the house ready for winter. And my wife said something about caulking the windows, and I'm thinking, oh, come on. Can't do everything in one day, but she's perfectly right. That's the problem. She's always right. That's the problem. Anyway, that's it for now. Back to you. Maybe I'll give you another song or something. Holy moly, she's a beauty. Okay, yep. Talk to you later. Bye. Okay, folks, this is a... I'm going to wrap up this podcast number... What is it? 126, I guess. I'm in my basement now in a cozy little... again, one of those chairs with the lever and the footstool sort of flips out and you can lean way back. Ah, and I got a good reading lamp over it, and this is where I had the electrician come in. Remember a couple of months ago and fix all the lights? So it's actually quite decent now. I got my library just over my shoulder. And on my lap, I've got Everyday Mind, 366 Reflections on the Buddhist Path. On the arm of the chair, I have your Guide to Canadian Law, which I'm going to read about building a new business, because I'm still excited. Beside me on the floor, a garment I treasure. I call it my fall coat. It was bought for me as a gift by two Japanese teachers on the most fun tour I've ever had, and here they were, Quebec City. They picked this out. I just love it. It's sort of it's the colors of fall, kind of a red and green woven. I don't know. I'm not good at describing things, but it's just cozy, made in Canada. It's like a big warm shirt almost, jacket, and I wear it as long as I can into the fall, and it's just about at the end. It's just about getting too cold. I'm going to have to haul up my leather jacket. But it's something I treasure. I was out in it today, and it, you know how it is to have a favorite shirt, a favorite piece of clothing, and that's it. And I've got my iPod here all loaded up, so I'm going to listen to some tunes in a minute. And beside me, a new beer. After I did the grocery shopping, and then I stopped at the LCBO, Liquor Control Board of Ontario, bought a bottle of wine, cheap Italian wine, and the last six-pack of something I've never seen before called Barley Days Brewery. That's the name of the brewery from Picton County. Here, Picton County in right here in Ontario. And this is called Wind and Sail Dark Ale. Lovely, you know, it's a bit of marketing and so on. But I have the feeling it's going to be good. I have the feeling it's ingredients, water, pure malted barley, hops, yeast, no preservatives, keep refrigerated. I have the feeling it's going to be a good one. Nice picture. It's from an oil painting, a detail of an oil painting from Manly MacDonald, 1869 to 1971. Big old sailing ship. So a real Canadian feel to it. It's a real Canada Day I'm talking, right? Everything I've talked about has been Canada Day. So I just kind of wanted to get that out there as I close off here and tell you the same thing that I always tell you to. Make sure you treat yourself well. I find Sunday is one of the best days because I don't feel guilt about not working. I allow myself television. I allow myself to have a drink and just kind of indulge, you know. Treat yourself well. You gotta do that. And because there's enough time in the week when we're just stressed and busy and things to do. I'm going to read one quote. I just opened it up. It's November 17th. I believe that was yesterday. From this book, Everyday Mind, the Buddhist Reflections. And it reads, becoming, which results from clinging, involves the idea of having or being something more satisfying than at present. We want to become a very good meditator, or we want to become spiritual or more learned. We have all sorts of ideas, but we're all bound up with wanting to become because we are not satisfied with what we are. Often we do not even pay attention to what we are now, but just know that something is lacking. Instead of trying to realize what we are and investigating where the difficulty actually lies, we just dream of becoming something else. When we have become something or someone else, we can be just as dissatisfied as before. So that's one of the quotes. And that's about, you know, just not being here now. And the message always is, be here now. And that's what I was just trying to tell you, how happy I feel with my coat beside me. It's joy, this jacket. It's a nice feeling because of the people who gave it to me and that spirit of friendship and love. And I have all these comforts. We were talking when I talked at the podcaster gathering with Catherine and Rob about how to measure a day, which is something that preoccupies me. It's one of the things maybe at the end of the day you reflect and you just want to be grateful for all you've got. And I'm grateful that I've got a nice new book to read through and the comforts on this wonderful fall day. Two healthy sons that just did the raking front and back. And just a lot of quiet pleasure. And I'm just so fortunate. so sad for those people out there who are just in a state of constant suffering. And it's all the more reason those of us who are not at present in hell better wake up and realize how fortunate we are and enjoy it. Live it. I hope that was the right message to give you. But thanks again, all of you who take the time to listen and pay attention and just allow me to share with you. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. I guess it's Thanksgiving weekend coming up for the Americans, so maybe that that fits too, right? We've had ours, and the Americans are going to have theirs, or having it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye-bye. See you next week.